Welcome to Sermons from First Presbyterian Church, Palo Alto. Each week, we share a recording of the Sunday sermon, offering theologically progressive, social justice-oriented reflections grounded in Scripture and what's happening in our lives and in the world. Most weeks, the sermon is preached by our pastor, the Reverend Tom Harris, and from time to time, we're joined by guest preachers. The following sermon is from the 10 a.m. service on Sunday, February 22nd, 2026. Our guest preacher is the Reverend Jim Ontel, a denominational leader, author, and public theologian who has preached on the climate crisis in over 400 settings and engaged in nonviolent civil disobedience on numerous occasions. An environmental activist since the very first Earth Day, he serves as a special advisor on climate justice to the General Minister and President of the United Church of Christ. In this sermon, based on Jonah 3 and John 18, Reverend Antle reflects on the choices regular people make when faced with crisis and injustice. In a moment when so many of us are asking what faithful action looks like, he draws on these two passages to push us towards an answer.
And now I will introduce our guest preacher today, Reverend Jim Ontel. He is a denominational leader, climate activist, author, and public theologian. He serves as special advisor on climate justice to the General Minister and President of the United Church of Christ. An environmental activist since the first Earth Day, he has preached on the climate crisis since 1988 in over 400 settings, and has engaged in nonviolent civil disobedience on numerous occasions. And that's enough credibility for anybody here, so welcome, Jim.
Thank you. Before I begin, I just want to thank not just Pastor Tom, but all of you for creating such a deeply worshipful opportunity for my wife and for me, and I'm sure I speak for all of you. That's why you're here. I'll have more to say to that at the benediction at the end. But before then, grace and peace to you in the name of our still-speaking God, as we say in the UCC, whose love embraces every person and creature on this good earth, whose mercy extends to the darkest corners of our lives, and whose justice guides us in our life together in the ways of truth and reconciliation. Not only am I grateful to Pastor Tom for inviting me to join you in worship today, I'm grateful to all of you for coming here. After worship and after some coffee and some refreshments, we'll have a time to go into Q&A. So if there's anything that I say, or if you come here with any questions concerning the climate crisis or related issues, please be forward and feel free to ask those questions at that time. But now let us join our hearts in prayer. Gracious God, open our hearts that we may receive your word, asking us to honor the dignity of every person, to speak the truth to one another in love, to protect and restore the gift of your creation, our common home, and to walk humbly with each other and with you. Amen. In a few weeks, this congregation and millions of other congregations throughout the world will reflect on Palm Sunday. As you likely know, congregations recognize Palm Sunday in a variety of ways. If I could wave a magic wand, I know that's not the sort of thing one can do, but if I could, my wish would be that they would all recognize a common truth, that 2,000 years ago, the people of Jerusalem had a choice. As we know from Scripture, many attended a peasant procession honoring the prophet Jesus, who arrived at the holy city of Jerusalem on a donkey. What often goes unmentioned in our Palm Sunday services is that the peasant procession honoring Jesus was not the only Passover pageant. It was a protest. It was an act of resistance, a public witness in opposition to the military procession that was taking place on the other side of the city across town, where Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of the region, was parading into Jerusalem, sitting atop a war horse, flanked by armed soldiers, seeking the approval of his subservient servants. On the day that marked the beginning of the most sacred week of the Jewish year, in the holy city of Jerusalem, there were two processions, and the people had a choice. As we learn from the book of Jonah, the people in Nineveh had a choice. When they heard Jonah's warning, they could have responded the same way their contemporaries responded to virtually every biblical prophet. They could have ignored the warning, but the people of Nineveh chose to pay attention to the warning they heard from Jonah. The people of Nineveh recognized that you can only change what you pay attention to. And so the people of Nineveh embraced Jonah's warning as an opportunity. They acknowledged the violence of their ways, and they chose what is called in Hebrew tikkun olam, to restore their broken world and begin with repentance. 57 years ago, when the sands on the beach of Santa Barbara were black with tar from an offshore oil spill, and the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland was burning, the people of the United States had a choice. And on April 22, 1970, 10% of the United States population, 20 million people, chose to show up by taking to the streets. And because they chose to take action, in a few short months, Congress created the Environmental Protection Agency and passed the Clean Air Act. On that first Earth Day, the people had a choice. 3 months ago, the people in Minneapolis had a choice. They could have laid low and kept their heads down. They could have ignored their neighbor's plight. They could have put on blinders and pretended that things would soon return to normal. But instead, the people of Minneapolis provided America with a workshop on how to live out our most basic moral instruction, a universal principle that can be found at the center of every world religion, the golden rule: love your neighbor as you love yourself. By choosing to show up, they were cultivating a fierce and defiant hope, a hope that required their active participation in something that was aching to be born. As we heard in this morning's scripture, 2,000 years ago, Pontius Pilate had a choice. The peasant prophet Jesus invited Pilate to listen to the truth to which Jesus testifies. Truths such as our obligation to care for the least of these among us, or to love your neighbor as yourself. But instead of listening, instead of accepting Jesus' offer, Pilate responded with a question: what is truth? Pilate had a choice. Over the past few decades, the two religious leaders of a quarter of the world's population recognized that they had a choice. The worldwide head of the Orthodox Christian Church, Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew, he said it plainly, it is a sin to wreck God's creation. And recognizing our call to speak truth to power, the late Pope Francis twice convened the corporate executives of ExxonMobil, BP, and other fossil fuel companies to hear from his lips that it is their responsibility as corporate leaders to embrace this immense opportunity for rapid transition to clean, renewable forms of energy. This, of course, stands in stark contrast to the choice made by nearly one quarter of the current members of Congress who deny that climate change is real. Today, you and I, and everyone we know and love, we have a choice. As it was for Pilate, our choice is whether or not we listen to what is true and take action. As people of faith, we know what choice faithfulness requires of us. We remember Jesus' counsel from the 8th chapter of John's Gospel, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Your congregation's vision, which I read on your excellent website, and I want to give you a double thumbs up for that vision. That vision, along with the 20 years of active witness by your congregation's Cool Planet Working Group, these are clear testimonies of your faithfulness. Living as we are amidst the greatest moral challenge humanity has ever faced, you have made a choice. And you are not alone. Across this nation, I have addressed hundreds of congregations, and there are thousands more that have accepted the sacred vocation to respond to the climate crisis as a sacred call, a communal call to address a universal crisis. Like it or not, we are all in this together. The earth, our common home, has but one atmosphere. The past decade has been the hottest decade in 125,000 years, and it will be the coolest decade your children and your grandchildren will ever experience. And so you and I, and everyone who is alive today, we are all living on the hinge of history. We are writing the story our children will live into, and we have a choice. As Christians seeking to be faithful, let us be guided by Jesus' instructions to listen to the truth and take action. That's what countless scientists have been doing for decades. And because of their unfailing focus, we now have all the technology we need to provide all the world's energy needs for heating, cooling, transportation, and industry from clean, renewable, and sustainable energy. We can complete this transition by 2035, and in making this transition, it will pay for itself in only 6 years. And in addition, as we have made the transition, we can address economic and racial inequity. And by doing so, we will reap benefits greater than the costs. Thank God for those scientists and innovators, many of whom live and work in your community. And they have been listening to the truth and taking action. And thank God for the young people and for the rule of law. You may have heard that teenagers in Montana and Hawaii are successfully advancing cases affirming our constitutional right to a clean environment while holding fossil fuel companies, pipeline developers, and other corporate profiteers for the consequences of climate change. And thank God that in spite of the White House senseless war on clean energy, in 2025, last year, 88% of the United States' new electrical generating capacity came from solar and wind. And now, the choice is ours. Like those I have lifted up, we need to embrace this opportunity, to face this challenge, and join with others to take some action. It's up to us. We, the people, we are the ones we have been waiting for. Earlier, I mentioned defiant hope. Defiant hope inoculates us against the epidemic of despair that so often accompanies the release of the newest climate science or the shock of those scientific findings if they are denied. Just as Jesus taught us that the truth will set us free, history assures us that the future is not yet written. And if any government official denies science or deletes climate data or forbids the sharing of ongoing scientific investigation or supports policies that will rob our children of their future, none of this is the final word, because that future is not yet written. Can you say that with me? The future is not yet written. Yes, this is how we write the future. This is how we shape history, by daring to envision new possibilities and acting on those new possibilities as if they were inevitable. And as we write the future, let's keep in mind Gandhi's wise counsel. First, they ignore you. Then they laugh at you. Then they fight you. And then you win. Now, let's be clear, Gandhi doesn't offer a timeline. And many of us may not live to see the fruits of our actions to protect God's creation. But we know that courageous moral witness will inspire others as they receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I invite you to ask yourself, what is the role God is calling me to play as we write this new story? What gifts, what blessings have I received from God that I can call upon to address our immediate challenges as well as the long emergency? How might I respond to the fresh invitation God is offering to harness all my gifts and blessings to join with others and create a new future? I pray that in the weeks and months ahead, each of us will welcome the opportunity our generation has been given to determine what life will be like, not only for our children, but for dozens of generations to come. The science is clear. We have only a few years left to move from an extractive economy to a regenerative economy, and thereby hold off the most devastating consequences of climate change. Thanks be to God, we already have all the technology we need to make the transition. All we need now is the resolve. Like the disciples who, when Jesus called, immediately left their nets and followed him, let us declare that we will no longer be bystanders. Every one of us has a role to play. God is inviting our generation to change the course of history. Just as Jesus called the first disciples, now he is calling us to unleash our imaginations, unmuzzle our mouths, unbind our hands, unshackle our feet and open our wallets. He is calling us to hasten the day when each human heart is governed not by fear, but by resolve. Not by resignation, but by hope. Not by constraint, but by generosity. Not by selfishness, but by sharing. Let us join God and love the world with all our hearts as we join with one another to restore God's wondrous gift of creation. And let the people say, Amen.
Thanks for listening to sermons from First Presbyterian Church, Palo Alto, located at 1140 Cowper Street in Palo Alto, California. If you'd like to worship with us, we gather Sundays at 10 a.m., both in person and online. And you can find more information about our congregation, worship, and ministries at fpcpaloalto.org. We hope to see you soon.